and Brother Sylvester.
Good morning. Good morning. Just before I welcome you all, I just want to let you all know that if you did not listen to Transformation Hour today, I strongly suggest going back and listening to it. It was an extremely powerful time. And honestly, it spoke to my heart a lot. I think I'm going through church withdrawal. I'm going through missing my people, being around them in the same atmosphere as them. And it gets a little lonely, especially because I'm a person that believes that you weren't ever meant to do life alone. It's one of the first things God says is not good, is for man to be alone. So I want you to know that I am praying for you all, and I'm yearning to be in your presence, just because mostly it's a fulfillment to me. So when I'm going through some hard things, or I'm wrestling, or I'm struggling, and it feels like you're just taking a lot of L's, it's nice for me to be able to see that you'll make it through it. It's different to know it, but then to see you guys and all you saints that have seen things way worse than I've seen, been through them, raised kids by yourself, had businesses start and fail and start and fail and are successful, you're truly an encouragement to me. And I want that to be known that even in times, and as Mark can attest, I reach out because I don't get to see that, and it gets hard sometimes to where I'm just like, I just want to win. Doesn't matter what the win is, just give me the win. Because I know once you get that first win, it's like a snowball. You can start to roll it. And a couple verses that have been clinging to my heart this week as I'm wrestling with starting a business and transitioning jobs and the unknown and the worriedness. And, you know, I try to be in control of a lot of things in life. But as Mark was saying today, and as I am realizing as I'm maturing and developing in my walk, is that there's a lot of things you can't be in control of. And that's kind of the verses I've been thinking about all week that's been on my heart and in my mind. And we're in Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. And you are not more valuable than they are. And which of you, being anxious, added a single hour to his lifespan of life?" And I want to challenge you with that today in this time of uncertainty, in this time of unknowing, that by dwelling on those things, you don't actually add to your life. And I would actually furthermore say that you're actually taking away. Because when you let go and you let God have it, you start to see the collateral beauties, the people that are around you that are helping you, the things that God is working in. Like Mark was saying, in different facets of life, he's not just working on one thing, he's working on several things. And then when you let go and let God have that, you get to see all those beautiful things. And that's my challenge to you. That's my hope for you. That's my prayer for you today, that you would get to see those things that God is doing, and you'll enjoy the ride of life. Let me pray for you, and then we'll do our church declaration. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to have a loving church family, Lord, that even when we're apart, we're together. Lord, I pray that as we are anxious, me personally even, wondering about this or that, Lord, that we'll let go and let you have it, Lord, because the ultimate fulfillment is from you taking care of us. Lord, that in this moment, Lord, that we'll rely on you, Lord, that we will protect you. Lord, that above everything, Lord, that you'll lead our lives. Lord, that we know that we are more valuable than birds. Therefore, you'll provide where our food and where you want us to be in the clothing. And you're always out for our good because you're a good Father. Today, I pray that we'll let all of this go and we'll focus on your word. Lord, that it'll touch our hearts, the inner recesses of our hearts. Lord, that the walls that we have up those safeguards that we've been building up, Lord, to protect us from being hurt, Lord, that we'll let those crumble in our relationship with you, Lord, that the parts that we need to be restored from, that you'll restore them, and the parts that you need us to weed out, that we'll weed out. Lord, we say all this because we know you're a good Father and you are working for our good. We love you and we thank you in your glorious and precious name. Amen. And our church declaration goes like this. It says, today we declare that we believe that through the word of God, we can have what it says we can have. We can do what it says we can do. We believe that through our faith in God and service to him, we are becoming empowered individuals and families who believe doors are opening for us, barriers are being broken, and increase is coming to us greater than ever before. In Jesus' name, thank you all, and let's have a great service.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate you, Minister Sylvester. Thank you so much this morning for that word, and thank you for your transparency. Sometimes we're going through things, and you know, seems like we're the only ones. But I'm glad that you know, there are those amongst us like you who will be transparent and say, hey, I'm going through some things. Hey, I'm having a rough time. Hey, it isn't all just, you know, downhill both ways, that there are some challenges, but we will best those challenges, and we do that by relying on the Lord, and we certainly do that as well by being able to fellowship with the saints of God. And so despite our challenges, I'm so grateful to God this morning to be able to be on this line with all of you. I'm so grateful for the prayers and the praises that go up when we gather together. I'm so grateful to God for opening up this opportunity. It looks like he's clearing up the lines and that kind of thing. So I'm just looking forward to all that he's going to do today. And can't say enough about how happy I am to see all of you. I say see all of you because I see your phone numbers and names here on my control panel. And so I'm just always so just overwhelmed with gratitude when I see the saints of God getting online here with us and praising God and worshiping God. Some of us had to call this morning, 20 times to get in, but you kept dialing, you kept dialing, you kept dialing, and I'm glad that you didn't give up. Let me tell you, you're going to be richly rewarded today for your perseverance. I know that to be a fact. Hey, in the way of a couple of quick announcements, one is that we are, able to get on together on the prayer conference call every Sunday morning. But just before that, on the Facebook page, which is DT Live on Facebook, we're able to hear a word from the Lord during Transformation Hour. And it's my privilege to be bringing those at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And then on Wednesday evenings, again on our DT Live Facebook page, we are able to have midweek service, and they have been rich. I mean to tell you, they have been rich indeed with Minister Regina Rogers. And so let me remind you that all of these are being recorded, and they are available. The Facebook Lives are available in the DT Live Facebook page, but also the audios from those, as well as the audios of these calls, are available on our Deliverance Temple Ministries website, which is deliverancetemple.org. You can go back for weeks now. We've got tons of content now. And so if you need a word in the middle of the week or on a Tuesday or a Thursday, you can get on there and listen to prayer conference, or I'm sorry, the morning worship conference call here. You can listen to the Transformation Hour. You can listen to Midweek. All available there for you. And let me remind you as well, and you know, even before I remind you, let me just tell you, I am seriously, seriously happy and grateful that we are a church of givers. Bishop has taught us well and has taught us from, you know, from day one, as long as you've known him. If you know him at all, you know he is a giver, and he teaches giving, and he lives giving, and we are givers. And so I'm glad to see that, though, you know, it's a little different for us not being able to come together physically, we are still giving. We are still tithing. We are still making our donations and letting our treasures come forward into the house of God to build the work of God. I want you to know that after these things, there's coming a time after these things, and we mean to hit the ground running, okay? We don't mean to be taking 10 years to figure out and talk about, yeah, y'all remember the pandemic? No, listen, we're going to hit the ground running. We got work to do. There are people that need to be ministered to, and that, of course, requires our resources as well. So we do have at least five ways that you can continue to give. Probably for you electronic folks, most easily to just go to deliverancetemple.org, hit the giving tab there at the top of the page, and it will take you to the donations page where you'll see you'll be able to give by PayPal, by Square, or by Cash App, any of those three ways that you want to do. And I've given, since this time has been, this pandemic has been going on, I've given by both PayPal and Cash App, and they went through just fine. According to Sister Tyra, she got them. So everything's working as it should on those. If you'd rather, of course, you can give her a call directly if you'd like to give over the phone or need instruction on how to mail in your contribution. Her number is 417-827-7721. I say again, her number for direct call to Sister Tyra, our CFO, is 417-827-7721, and she'd be happy to assist you in making your contribution or your tithe or offering gift. So we give praise to God for who he is and all he's doing today, and I want to stop just for a moment before we go further in the service. We've got a couple of real treats for you today. Lord, have mercy. But I want to open up the line for the man of God to speak to us. And I'm a little – I see actually two calls for you there, Bishop. I'm not sure which one is yours, but I'm going to open them both up and ask, can you hear me there, Bishop?
Yes.
Bishop Knox. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Love for you to greet the people this morning, if you would, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Hallelujah. We praise God today for his goodness and his mercy that he's bestowed upon us. God is doing great and mighty things for us, and we appreciate you being online with us to hear what God is doing. I want you to know God is at work. We have been praying from the time that we did this plague had come upon us, and hey, God is listening. Things are beginning to change, and God is going to be glorified in everything we do. So just continue to pray, and we're going to be through it before you know it, and be back doing what we always do, and that's worshiping God in spirit and in truth. God bless you.
Amen, Bishop. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate that word of encouragement. You know, when you're on the other side of the thing, you know, sometimes when, now listen, I've never had a baby, as you all know, but so that will come as no surprise. But from what I've heard, with all the pain that a woman may endure and go through, there is joy on the other side of that experience. And almost like it never happened, almost like it's a distant memory once you've got that baby in your arms and feeling the love and feeling the joy that comes with that experience. And so I'm praying that God will bless us to be like that with this situation, that we will certainly learn some things as we go through, and it will make us stronger for having gone through it. It'll make us stronger and more joyful in who he is, who he is in us, and who we are together as a church that he has called out. I told you that you got a couple of treats this morning for being on the line, and God is going to richly reward you for your perseverance. We are so blessed at Deliverance Temple to have ministers of music. Ministers of music. These are not just people who sing. Because, you know, I might try to sing a little bit, you know, but as y'all can probably attest, that's not my gift. That is not my ministry. But we have those amongst us whose ministry it is that God has called them, God has anointed them, and the proof is in the pudding. When they minister before the Lord, the Spirit of God moves, and you can feel it down to your toes, I'm telling you. And so this morning, we have one of my favorite psalms in the house, and I have asked her to come and just let the Lord use her, to just lead her the way that he would have her to go. And I want you to join in. I know that, you know, we can't hear you while she's going and that kind of thing, but I want you to join in. I want you to open up your hearts and allow the Holy Spirit of God to touch you. We are all here together in one accord. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring Sister Marilyn Burns, Psalmist Marilyn Burns, to the mic. And sister, just let the Lord lead you. Go as God would have you to go today. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen, saints.
Amen. Amen.
You hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
You hear
yes,
me?
Ma'am.
All yes, righty, then.
Yeah.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. Oh, everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All in my home, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. All in my home, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. And I lift you up. And I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you more today. Oh, because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. And I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Be not dismayed, whatever. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Think about it, what we're going through. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None of us could heal all our soul diseases. No, not one. No, no, not one. And you know why? Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide you until the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide you until the day is done. There's not a friend like the Lord, the lonely Jesus. No, 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 not one. No, not one. May the church say yes. 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 Yes, yes, yes. We love you, Lord. 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 Let me say amen. Amen. Pastor Mark.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Sister Marilyn. Thank you. Oh, my God. I tell you what, my spirit is full. Sometimes what we need is a reminder, and the Lord is merciful and generous and kind to send us a reminder. Listen, when you are going through the kind of stuff we're going through, you don't always need a dissertation. I don't need, you know, a 400-page book. I need to know that God loves me. I need to know that there's no friend like Jesus. I need to know that God will take care of me. That when others can't help, he is there. I need a reminder sometimes, and I know you do too, that God has not forgotten about us, that he is the healer of diseases of the body, of the soul, and of the mind, that he is there for us, that there's nobody like him, and can't nobody do me like Jesus. I need that simple reminder. I need that small wind, Minister Sylvester. I need that small wind that tells me I'm going to be all right. I need that little bit of encouragement. I need that kind word. I need that one phrase that just triggers everything for me, that lets me know he is on the case. So I thank God for the reminder this morning. I praise him for that this morning. And I want to open up the lines and let you just praise him together with us. Lord, have mercy. You back on mute, but don't stop praising him. You don't have to stop praising him. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. There's none like you, Jesus. None like you. Ah, praise the name of Jesus today. Oh, I'm so glad to be able to praise him with you, to praise him and to rejoice in the God of our salvation. Ah, to witness along with you all that there's nobody like our God, and that he absolutely has us in the palm of his hand. Lord, I thank you this morning. I give you praise this morning. I worship you this morning, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God bless you so much. God bless you, every one of you. So good to hear your voices lifted in praise and in worship to God. And again, we thank you, Sister Marilyn, for leading us out and for those reminders this morning of the special way that God loves us, of the tenderness and the kindness and the care. My God, today I'm gonna have to hush. Woo! Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, this morning we have, as I promised, a special treat. It's always a special treat to me to hear our sister. God has gifted her. God has blessed her. She is not only a person of the spirit, but she's a person of the word. She is a person of study, just working to finish up that dissertation, and we'll all be calling, I already call her Dr. Rogers. But we praise God this morning for our friend, our sister, Minister Regina Marie Rogers. And without further ado, we're going to bring her to the mic and let her go as the Lord would lead her to speak to us. I'm sure that there is a prophetic word in her for us today, and I'm ready to hear it. Minister Rogers, you have the mic, ma'am.
Bless God. Bless God. Hello, brother. Hello, Pastor Mark. Hello, Deliverance Temple. God bless you. I am so honored to be with you all here, even in this virtual space, praise God, to bring this word that God has just burned into my spirit. I promise you it's going to be a blessing to all that is on the line and even those who may listen to the recording later. I tell you what, Pastor Mark and all of the ministers, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, and this was the very first time that I experienced it, but I knew the scripture that God was going to have me come from. I knew it already. But yesterday morning as I woke up to the Holy Spirit preaching it to me. Now, I know that might sound off and crazy and wild, but I promise you it is the truth. I woke up and the Holy Spirit was preaching the message to me. So we are going to dive into this today, and we just thank and praise God for what he is doing for us. First, giving honor to God who was absolutely the head of my life. I would like to thank Bishop for trusting me in this moment, his confidence and his care and his ability to mentor and his willingness, hallelujah, to bring those around him that are emerging, his willingness to mentor us and pour into us. It is so amazing, and it is such a blessing, and I don't take that for granted at all. I like to say thank you to Bishop. Thank you, First Lady, for trusting me. Hallelujah. Thank and praise God for it. And if you would indulge me as I place one of my hats, the other hats on really quickly, I just feel led to do this as before I speak on the message on today, to speak as the visitor coordinator of Deliverance Temple for a moment. Please allow me to say welcome to all of our listeners on the line this morning, both members and prayerfully any visitors as well. Even in our present lockdown situation, you could find other things to do with your time, but you obviously value the word of God and you value the coming together of the saints and fellowship, so you are here. And I wanted to acknowledge you in my own way. Praise God. Thank you that you are here. I pray that you feel welcome, and I pray that you feel that you are a part of something that's larger than yourself. Together we do more, and together we impact more. Amen. So thank God for all of you here this morning. The backdrop of my message and teaching today is found in the 11th gospel, the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. And if you have your Bibles, please feel free to read along, or if you don't have your Bible, you can listen as I read. We're going to begin in verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to drop down and pick it up again in verse 17. And it reads, John 11, verse 1, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was the Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Don't miss that. "Then after that, he said to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again." Dropping down to verse 17. "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave," talking about Lazarus, "4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, I believe about 2 miles, if I understand that correctly. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And Martha said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, Mary rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Then Jews which were in with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept, verse 35. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that this man should not have died? And Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. I know that was a lot of verses, but I don't apologize for it. Today, the topic that I'm going to minister briefly from is why Jesus cries. Why Jesus cries. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this moment. God, we pray, hallelujah, that this word that you have burned on the inside of my spirit, God, that it will resound, hallelujah, in the spirits and in the minds and in the hearts of your people, God, that they might be found, hallelujah, in this message today. God, that their hope, hallelujah, would arise. God, that their faith would arise. Hallelujah. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. So, I know that followers of Christ, we call them Christians, do not consider our faith a religion, but in the world's eyes, they include Christianity among the number of other 4,300 religions that are in operation in the world right now, right? 4,300, amen. And among the ones with the most followers, they have a conundrum, because they cannot ignore the significant impact Jesus had on the world. History itself witnesses to the miracles he did and the revolution he began with his teaching, so they would dare not try to dismiss him because that would be too obvious. But instead, they address the issue of Jesus the Christ by referring to him as a prophet or a great teacher. Stay with me. But Jesus never got too worked up about what the world said about him. He asked his disciples in the Gospels of Matthew 16:13 and Mark 8:27, he asked him, he said, who do men say that I am? And his disciples told him, some say you are John the Baptist, some say you are Elijah, some say you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus asked them, but who do you say that I am? He was asking his disciples, those who followed him, those who had been following him closely, who do you say that I am? And I want this question to permeate us this morning as we continue. Who do you say that Jesus is? So Jesus loved Mary. He loved Martha. He loved Lazarus. And he spent a lot of time with them in their home in the small town of Bethany, which means house of welcome. They were his friends and a safe place to retreat to. He loved this family. So why then did it take so long for him to go to them when Mary and Martha sent word to him by the messengers that Lazarus was sick? It was clear how he felt about him. So why did he wait to go to the ones he loved? Oh, my God. We all have friends and acquaintances in our lives when we can speak to them once or twice a year, and it's okay. We care about them. We might send them a Christmas card or a birthday card. They have a baby. We might send them a gift every now and then, all of that, and it's okay, right? But then we have those inner circle friends. Hallelujah. They are beyond acquaintances. They are more like family than they are friends. They want the best for us, and we want the best for them. We can't imagine going more than a couple of weeks without connecting with them somehow because we care about them. We love them. We want them in our lives. But never be mistaken. The agenda of the Lord will always prevail, no matter how deep the love is between you and another person, no matter how deep the love flows between you and a friend or an acquaintance, the plan of God must always supersede what we think and what we feel. And it is in these times when our trust must take center stage, and we must know, hallelujah, it was at this time that Mary and Martha had to know that Jesus loved them. Hallelujah. But it was this time that their faith was being called into question. They must come to the realization at this point that all things work together for the good of those who love him, for he surely loves us. So when word reached Jesus, when the messengers arrived and told Jesus that Lazarus was dying, that he was sick, and that Mary and Martha was calling for him, what did Jesus say? Verse 4. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. But Lazarus did die. What? He did die. When Jesus arrived, Martha met him out on the road and said, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, if you ask God, God will give it to you. Whatever you ask, God's going to give it to you. And Jesus told her, thy brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know, Lord, in the resurrection at the last day. And here is the crucial point for us. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever live and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He asked Mary, do you believe me? He said, I hear it in my spirit, as if he were asking with great earnest, because in just a few short days from this day, he will be going to the cross, and there won't be any more time for teaching. There won't be any more time for instruction. There won't be any more time for impartation. He would be leaving this realm and this dimension and ascending back into the third heaven, unable to communicate in the manner that he had been able to these past 3 years. He had to know that they understood. He had to know that they believed, because their belief was paramount to the Great Commission, which would soon come. So with urgency, he asked her, do you believe this? We think we have all the time in the world, and we don't. We waste precious time thinking we have tomorrow to get it together when tomorrow is not promised. The urgency of the hour demands our attention, and it demands we pick a side. No straddling the fence, no going back and forth, romancing unbelief and skepticism. When Jesus is standing before you, holding you by the shoulders, looking deeply into your eyes and asks you, do you believe this? He asked Mary, he asked Martha, do you believe this? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. The Holy Spirit spoke to me that this is the crucial point, because if we don't get the issue of the power of the resurrection, that evangelism hangs in the balance. If his own do not believe, how else could we be sent to witness to others? If we don't get the point of the resurrection, all of the healings, all of the feedings of the multitude, the walking on the water, the turning the water into wine, all of the sermons would only be things that a prophet or a great teacher could accomplish. Without the resurrection, without the power of the resurrection, Jesus is downgraded from God the Son to rabbi, to teacher, to prophet. Oh, my God. We must believe that he is the resurrection and the life. Glory to God. Jesus told Martha, even if it dies, he can resurrect it. Your dream, your vision, your hope, your faith, glory to God. Maybe you felt like Jesus took too long to come to your rescue. You had him on a timetable of your own design, and it turned out that he didn't come when you wanted him to. You based your miracle on whether or not he would come before the lights were turned off, before the car was repossessed, or before the biopsy report came back. And because the daughter was pregnant, and because the son did go to jail, and because you did lose, hallelujah, your job or your business, your faith died, your hope died. But when Jesus came to you, when he came to tell you that those things would rise again, you tell him it's too late. Isn't that what the sisters told him? You tell the one who created everything. You tell him, if you had just gotten here sooner, Lord, the law was denied because you weren't here in time, Jesus. My dreams and visions have died. My hopes and dreams are dead. And by now they have decomposed and are stinking. And Jesus cries. Jesus wept. And to make matters worse, there is a crowd around at the house mourning with you over the loss of your dreams. They have been trying to comfort you as you grieve the untimely death of your vision. And while they mean well, they brought you a casserole and they baked a cake and they brought some flowers to show you that they care. But they are not helping you. Do you hear me? They are not helping you. They are saying things that they think is what you need to hear to feel better about your situation, but they are not telling you the truth. While they are rubbing your back and handing you Kleenex, they are saying among themselves, the Lord did so much for everyone else. Why couldn't he intervene with this one that he loved, with this faith one? They've been faithful. They've served God all their life. They've done everything they know to do. Why couldn't he intervene before their dream died? And because you were so grief-stricken, you just lie back and resolve in your soul that what the crowd is saying is true. It's too late. It's over. And Jesus groans within himself. What is the consequence of unbelief? And I am intentionally not saying sin, because in most people's minds, sin is relegated to things like fornication and adultery and murder. But unbelief is just as lethal, because it is something that is at the root of every sin. So why is unbelief so dangerous? Unbelief causes people to make all kinds of poor choices and bad decisions that generally lead to more poor choices and more bad decisions, which ultimately places people in harm's way emotionally, physically, and financially. Unbelief does not lead us into the paths of righteousness. It leads us into harm's way because it separates us from the very power we need to see the manifestation of the thing God wants to happen in our lives. Unbelief separates us from the power of God. Remember, even in his own hometown of Nazareth, Matthew 13:58 tells us Jesus could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. In his own hometown, among the people who should have known better. He couldn't do any mighty works because of their unbelief. Our belief is crucial to experiencing the power of God in our lives. Bishop can't believe for us. Our mothers can't believe for us. Our prayer partner or our best friend can't believe for us. Our spouses can't believe for us. We, on an individual basis, must believe. There was another instance where Jesus wept in Luke 19:41. When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. The Gospel of Matthew records it like this: O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou that kills the prophets and stone them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Jesus wasn't pronouncing their house desolate out of pettiness. He was letting it be known that their unbelief and refusal to accept the things God had ordained, their rejection of God's plan, put them in danger, because when you neglect and reject God, it leaves you vulnerable because you can't serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other, or you will despise one and be loyal to the other. You can't have it both ways. Disobedience to God puts you in a position to be taken advantage of by the enemy, Adam and Eve. Their sin, their unbelief, their rejection of God's way made them vulnerable to the wiles and to the ploys of the enemy. That's why Jesus cried looking over Jerusalem, because it didn't have to be that way. God had given them everything they needed to believe. Oh, my God, all the miracles, all the teaching, glory to God. He let everything happen in their eyes, glory to God, and they still refused. They had been praying for millennia. It was the same prayer request every week in the synagogue: God, send the Messiah. And after thousands of years of them praying and asking for the Messiah, he stood in the midst of them, and because they didn't recognize him, they rejected him. And because they rejected him, because they refused, glory to God, things were going to not go well for them. But it didn't have to be that way. And I'm telling us on this call today, it doesn't have to be that way for us. Hallelujah. He will never come. Jesus will never come in the way any of us expects him to. Glory to God. The Jews were not expecting a baby in a manger. They thought Messiah would come in as a mighty warrior and overthrow Rome. Hallelujah, because at the time, Rome was oppressing them. Oh, my God, they were only concerned about their immediate circumstances. But God the Father sees light years ahead of us. Hallelujah, not just what we're currently going through, but years and years and years ahead of our lives, into our descendants' lives. He thinks about all of it at the same time. Glory to God. So he was doing something much larger, and they couldn't see it. And because they couldn't see it, they rejected what they thought he was doing, which caused them, hallelujah, to be vulnerable. Glory to God. We must divorce the thought that we get to manage how God comes and when he comes. We don't get to manage that. Martha and Mary called for Jesus days before Lazarus died, and he didn't show up until 4 days after he died. Yes, of course, in our natural minds, we might think, yeah, well, it's over. Oh, my God. But my prayer today is that we all release, every one of us, myself included, release ourselves of the self-assigned expectation of how things are supposed to go. The truth of the matter is, we are less likely to know exactly and in precise detail everything God has in store until he is ready to reveal them. That is why he tells us to acknowledge him in all of our ways so that he can direct our steps. That is why the word is a lamp unto our feet, because many times it feels like we are walking in the darkness of the unknown and unfamiliar. It seems like we don't know where we're going. That's because we don't. We don't know. Hallelujah. That's why he has to be our shepherd and lead us and guide us. We have to stick close to him. We have to know his voice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And John 10, he says, my sheep know my voice and they don't hear another. Glory to God. So when he is out in front of us, calling us this way and calling us that way, then we follow. Glory to God. God, help us today that we truly let go of our own motives and our own agendas and our own preconceived notions and allow our faith to arise, allow our belief to arise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I'm about to pray right now, and I want you to take a moment and get the thing. You know God spoke to you. You know God spoke it to you, but you thought it died because so much time has passed and it hadn't happened yet. Or maybe it just flat out has died. Hallelujah. I want you to get that thing in your mind right now. Find it in your heart and in your mind. It's probably covered up with some dust and cobwebs, but I want you to find it. I want you to get your mind on it right now. Glory to God. I don't care what it was. Because although it was dead, it will live again. Jesus is the resurrection, and he is calling that dream. He is calling that vision. He is calling that idea. He is calling that relationship. He is calling that goal out of the grave right now today. Father, I thank you for hearing me today. I know you always hear me. Hallelujah. I know you always hear me. Glory to God. I know you always hear me. Glory to God. But I said it like that so those in the crowd looking and spectating, those who asked how you could do things for so many others, hallelujah, but didn't keep my dream from dying, hallelujah. I want them to hear this declaration as well, Father. And in the name that is above every name, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth every dream. Come forth every vision. Come forth every idea. Come forth every goal. Everything that God gave you but seemingly died, come forth and live in Jesus' name. I command you to be loose. Let them go in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our belief is paramount, saints. Glory to God. The hour is urgent. Hallelujah. And it's demanding that we pick sides. It is demanding, glory to God, that we let go of unbelief, that we let go of uncertainty, that we let go, hallelujah, of lower thinking. Ha-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya. We must let it go in the name of Jesus. We must forever settle, hallelujah, the question, hallelujah, of who Jesus is. He asked us earlier, he said, who do you say that I am? Glory to God, hallelujah, because he is depending on us. He is depending on the ones that say we love him. He is depending on those of us who say we serve him to be a witness to others. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if we ourselves do not believe, how can he use us to minister and witness to others? He says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Who do you say that I am? Glory to God. Glory to God. Pastor Mark, that is all that I have today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Oh,
thank
my
you, Jesus.
God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My God, today, I'm just overwhelmed, minister. I'm overwhelmed. My God, that is a word straight from the throne. That is a word straight from the throne.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
and it's found me today. I'm sure that it found many on this line today. My God, today. Thank you for that word. I need to go back and listen to that about 16 times, I think, because that is a powerful word.
Thank you, Lord.
My God, today.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray that if you've heard nothing else that minister said today, that you heard that there is no place in our heart and lives for unbelief. We've absolutely got to know who Jesus is, convinced right now he is, and that he's able to keep that which we have committed to him against that day. I hear in the words of my friend Mr. Felix Anderson, believe big again. Believe big again, Deliverance Temple. Believe big again. Believe big again. That thing that you thought wasn't going to happen, believe big again. He's not through with us. He's not through. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Minister Rogers, for that powerful word today. I certainly appreciate it. Listen, I want to ask Bishop if he would come back on the line and give him opportunity to have remarks before we close today. What a powerful word, Bishop, that was. What a powerful, powerful word. Amen? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah. God. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. All right. I just thank God for the word today. I'm convinced that God wants us to trust him in spite of what we see, feel, or hear. Just believe that he is God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he is our God today. And if we just accept it, believe it, it's ours. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Regina. Fantastic message. Amen. Just believe it and receive it. It's yours. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you so much. And thank you all for being on the call today. Thank you for continuing to support this ministry in all the ways that you do. And as we go today, I want to just give you an opportunity to give one more shout of praise to God as we off the line today. Praise God.
Unbelievable.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Allow our belief to arrive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our belief is perilous.